Many years ago, I attended a funeral. It was for a young lady, only in her 20s, a wonderful Christian woman, very devout in her faith. And it was so hard to go to a funeral for someone that young who had died. And as I entered the narthex, I looked ahead and I saw, it's a crowd of people, of course, I saw her parents and greeted them and their grief and expressed my sympathies to them. And then as I went through the narthex, I happened to run into a young man who was a friend of this woman who had died. And he had now completely rejected his Christian faith and had even begun to speak against it and had gone into a view of life of atheism. And I just remember thinking, as hard as it was to see her parents suffering, to see them lose a daughter, I would rather be her parents than his parents right now. I would rather have to be dealing with, sad to say, the physical death of someone than the spiritual death that takes place in one of your children. The darkness that comes with unbelief is described in our text about each one of us before God created faith in our hearts to believe in Christ as our Savior. Paul says, or Peter says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And the only way we can really fully know and understand the depth of that darkness is for God in His Word to explain it to us and to allow us then to see it. It's kind of like, I suppose, someone who's born blind and they don't know what they've been missing until they suddenly receive their sight. So it takes God through His Word to actually expose what the darkness really is for us to realize the depth of that darkness. But then how wonderful that God has called us out of that into this wonderful light, the kingdom of light, having faith in Christ as our Savior, the Son of God. Now, he uses some interesting words here that we're chosen and special people and people belonging to God, and we don't always feel like that. I know I don't as a Christian in this world. But isn't it wonderful when God starts the message to us in this section? He uses the word beloved. It's the word if you've ever heard of agape love, agaptai is the word that's used here. And it's the same word that God uses from heaven when he speaks about Jesus at his baptism, my beloved son. Now just think of that God speaks there in Jesus' baptism about the perfect holy son that he has, who is his beloved. And he takes that same phrase and applies it to those who believe in Christ. That's how God talks about us. That's an amazing thing. Think what a wonderful little statement that is about how God sees us. Instead of looking at you and me according to all of our sinfulness, he looks at us through the lens, if you will, the red blood-stained lens of our Savior's blood that has filtered out all of our sin. And he grants us his forgiveness. He chooses to see us as holy and perfect saints, even though we don't feel like it. Even though on this side of the lens, we are very well aware of our sins. And yet, because of the blood of Christ, this is how your God chooses to look at you, is one who is now one of his holy saints. But these descriptions of us sometimes feel like they don't fit us. And we think about how St. Paul said about himself, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Even Peter, who writes this very text, at one point said to Jesus, "Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But it's important for us to understand that God is not speaking to us here about how you feel, about how you feel about yourself. He's speaking to you here about how he sees you. That's a completely different thing. How he has chosen by his grace to look at you and to see you and view you through the blood of his son. And he simply asks you to trust that, to trust that that is how he sees you. Now, this heavenly royal status is hard for us to kind of imagine because we don't feel like that here in this world. And a lot of times our lives can be kind of crushed and we can be dealing with a lot of issues. I think about the beggar who has dogs licking his sores outside of Lazarus, outside of the rich man's house. And at that moment, did he really feel like he was one of God's chosen people? Think of the penitent woman who was crying at Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her tears and things. And everybody else in the room was despising her because of her past life. Or the tax collector in the corner of the temple beating on his breast. The believers in this world, the saints of God in this world, are well aware of their sinfulness. They're well aware of how undeserving they are to have this status given to them by God. But it doesn't change. It doesn't change the status they have and that we've been blessed with because of the grace of God. Now, the God of heaven has very earthly reasons for calling you into this heavenly light. Listen, Peter says, he has done this so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Sometimes when I have asked people who are atheists, what is your purpose in life? What do you think your purpose is in life? They'll often give an answer something like this. Well, I think it's my role in life to kind of leave this place a better world. Leave a better world for my children. You'll often hear them say something like that. And that's admirable. We all want a better world. But it's a dying world. And the children you have, they're going to die too. So really, how much do you improve it? How much do you actually improve it? It's kind of like trying to put nice pillows out on the chairs of the Titanic while it's slipping down into the water. And that's nice. We need nice pillows, don't we? But pillows aren't going to matter when the ship is going down. Pillows are nice. What we need is life preservers. What we need is life-preserving boats. And that's what Christ has come to provide us. If you truly want to have a global impact with your life, then find your role somehow, somewhere, in what Peter calls declaring the praises of the one who calls people out of darkness into this marvelous light. You have a variety of talents, just amazing on this campus, abilities and gifts that God sprinkles down into his church of believers. Use those gifts to help people get into the lifeboats. God has called you out of darkness into his kingdom of light, but he hasn't brought you to the home of light yet. He has left you here in this world of darkness. He has placed you in a very particular spot in life, in history, in your family, in the world, in geography. He has not done that randomly. He has specifically decided there's something about you and your life and the people you can have contact with where he plans to utilize you as his child of light in this world of darkness. Martin Luther said it so well as he describes in his explanation to the second article of the Creed that Christ has come to save us and so on. He says, in order that I might serve him, might be his own, might live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So while we as God's children are on our way to the enduring city of light, let us be sure to invite and bring others along with us. Because that city is described in Revelation as a place where we will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. How wonderful and blessed you are to be one of those children of light. Amen.